Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Tuesday, a daily podcast for Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Court records show a federal judge authorized the FBI to monitor State Senator Louise Lucas's phone communications earlier this year. According to the Virginian Pilot, that included her correspondence with journalists between March 6th and April 6th. Phone recordings were later sealed. A spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office declined to comment Monday, and Lucas couldn't be reached for a comment. The wiretapping suggests the Department of Justice was surveilling Lucas at least a month before the FBI raided her Portsmouth office and marijuana business in May. Then Lucas said she wasn't sure what the federal government was investigating, but she said the raid could be political retribution from the Trump administration for her role in promoting Democrats' effort to redraw Virginia's congressional maps. Democrats in the General Assembly passed a number of new gun laws during the 2026 session, including a controversial assault weapons ban. Brad Cutner spoke to elected officials involved in the legal fights over those new laws to ask a simple question. Is it all worth it?
The answer is yes. We want to keep our community safe.
That's Virginia's Democratic Attorney General Jay Jones in Petersburg last week when asked if he thought the legal fight over Virginia's new assault weapons ban was worth it. The law was put on hold by several state courts, and the Supreme Court of Virginia denied Jones' request to consolidate four different legal challenges to the law. Despite the protracted and resource-intensive legal fights and a U.S. Supreme Court with a history of favoring gun ownership, Jones said he wouldn't back down.
Our office is committed to making sure that we're standing by the laws that are on the books, to enforce those, to work with our state and local partners to make sure that that happens.
Republican Senator Bill Stanley is representing firearm retailers and owners in one of the assault weapons ban lawsuits. He believes the Commonwealth should stop defending the law until the highest court in the land rules on similar fights in other states.
And it will be a nationwide implication, so it will affect Virginia. Let's see what happens in the federal courts first.
These fights aren't happening in a vacuum. Last year, Democrats picked up more than a dozen seats in the House of Delegates and swept every executive seat, running partly on a message of new limits on firearms. Democratic delegate Garrett McGuire was co-sponsor of the assault weapons ban and a Virginia Tech student during the 2007 campus shooting. He said those personally impacted by gun violence in schools represent a new constituency, and folks like Stanley may win in court, but not in the hearts and minds of voters.
We're doing the right thing, and we hear that all the time from our constituents.
Stanley disagrees.
I think it does not affect Republicans in the long term, because what we're doing is fighting for people's rights.
Virginia voters will decide next year when all 140 legislative seats are up for grabs. In Richmond, I'm Brad Cutner.
The Roanoke area has become a hotspot for mountain biking in the eastern U.S., but it wasn't always that way, even among local enthusiasts.
There was no awareness of what was up on Brushy Mountain, the CCC trails. We just, by virtue of exploration, discovered that.
Now the Roanoke Valley is hosting national championship races. Mason Adams explores the discovery and development of the sport in the region. We'll have that story up in a little bit. Governor Abigail Spanberger announced a new solar energy program Monday with the hopes of increasing power generation and lowering costs in Virginia.
This program, Switch Together, is a model that brings a bunch of households together to lower costs for everyone. This program has already helped more than 400 Virginians switch to solar. Now we're looking to expand this opportunity from just a few counties to the entire Commonwealth.
Called a reverse auction, Switch Together joins would-be solar purchasers together to buy panels and other equipment at a reduced rate. No direct state funds are utilized, only cost savings through the group buying power, according to administration officials. Spanberger pointed to Department of Treasury data, which suggests households can save over $2,200 a year by switching to solar. Virginians can learn more about the program by visiting switchtogether.com. The window to enter the program closes October 15th. Eight school-based health clinics in Southwest Virginia have shut down after federally qualified health centers lost critical funding tied to a federal drug pricing program. According to the Virginia Mercury, the Virginia Community Healthcare Association says clinics had relied on about $2.7 million in annual 340B program savings, but those dollars are dropping as demand for care rises. The closures affect schools in Smith and Washington counties and Bristol. Governor Spanberger says her administration is working with providers to protect vulnerable families as similar challenges emerge nationwide. After decades of campaigning against the use of tobacco, public health experts say the number of young people who smoke has been rising. Sandy Houseman spoke with an expert at the University of Virginia about why this is happening.
Melissa Little is director of the Center for Nicotine and Tobacco Research at UVA. and she's sounding the alarm.
We thought we had, so to speak, kicked the habit, and yet we're seeing an uptake again.
While leaders in the field of public health were focused on vaping and the new threat it posed, more people between the ages of 14 and 29, members of Gen Z, were taking up cigarettes.
Some of the federal agencies that monitor these, like the Office of Smoking and Health, is no longer at the CDC. So we're trying to play catch up. But we do know that 12th grade nicotine use has increased from 17% to 21.8%.
She adds that tobacco companies seem to have willing allies who promote the product through social and traditional media.
Smoking is starting to appear as this glamorous, rebellious, socially desirable behavior. We know movies and music videos are featuring tobacco use quite frequently. And there's even an Instagram account which posts celebrity smoking photos. And there's over 83,000 people that follow that account, which just blows my mind.
To counter that trend, she's developed a 45-minute program that can be used in schools to prevent kids from starting a habit. Its message, you're being manipulated, and it's your choice whether to respond. I'm Sandy Houseman.
The University of Virginia is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. One of Lynchburg's most complex and costly capital improvement projects has cleared another hurdle. City officials say blasting and excavation of the Blackwater CSO tunnel was completed over the weekend. Crews have been working since 2025 on the 4,700-foot-long tunnel. It's part of a major update to Lynchburg's sewer and stormwater system that's expected to reduce discharges of untreated wastewater by 98%. The Roanoke Valley is hosting Endurance Mountain Bike National Championships this week. The event is yet another feather in the cap for the region's cycling community. And for local mountain bikers, it's just the latest summit in a decades-long uphill grind for respectability. Mason Adams has this story.
Kyle Inman's road to mountain biking began with the dirt bike craze of the 1970s. He moved to Roanoke in 1983 and opened a skateboard shop. And when mountain bikes started to emerge, he was primed and ready. But he didn't know where to ride.
When I bought the first bike, I said, well, where do you ride them? Because they were selling like hotcakes. Nobody knew where to go.
He and others were directed to Carvin's Cove, which at the time didn't technically allow mountain biking. That didn't stop Inman and others, who painstakingly mapped out trails left by loggers and the Civilian Conservation Corps.
There was no awareness of what was up on Brushy Mountain, the CCC trails. We just, by virtue of exploration, discovered that, you know, met a guy here or there and said, yeah, I know about something over here. I remember somebody talking about something over there. Got the USGS topos. Through that, we discovered an old dotted line that I said, I wonder if that's a trail. Well, it turned out it became Heidi Ho.
In 1997, Inman pitched an idea to the city of Roanoke. Host a sanctioned American Mountain Bike Championship event out at Carvin's Cove. The city balked, but the resulting publicity made local riders aware of the trails at Carvin's Cove.
Suddenly, it revealed to a lot of people that you could mountain bike at the Cove, and they didn't realize that there was this stuff out there. And so that's when it really started taking off in terms of the ridership.
Wesley Best was one of the two mountain bikers appointed to a committee to study whether to open up Carvin's Cove to mountain bikes.
There were seven of us, and at the outset, the other five people were 100% against this. They thought it was a terrible idea, like this, why would we do this? It's our water supply. Basically, it was once we went to Carvin's Cove and they saw what was there, because nobody understood what it was. They didn't realize there were all these existing trails and all of this stuff. Once that happened, the tide turned. And so all of a sudden it went from, you know, five out of seven being against this concept to basically being seven out of seven for it.
The opening of Carvin's Cove, along with the development of trails at Explorer Park, marked the official sanctioning of mountain biking in the Roanoke Valley. The embrace has only tightened over the ensuing decades. Tourism and economic development officials make it a focal point when marketing the area to visitors and businesses. Here's Best again.
All of a sudden, it's not just the mountain bikers who are paying attention. It is people at higher levels that are starting to pay attention to this as an opportunity for us to tell a story that very few places can tell. You can have a technology corridor. You can have all of these other things that everybody loves to play up that they are. But when you have this, that's a quality of life issue that you can't create.
Visit Virginia's Blue Ridge, the regional tourism agency, even sponsored a professional women's cycling team. Nicola Cranmer is founder and general manager of the UCI Virginia's Blue Ridge 2028 Bro Cycling Team.
Here you have this team that travels all around the country, and if the title sponsorship is a visit Virginia's Blue Ridge, how cool is that for them to be traveling around as ambassadors for our region, and particularly a high-performance women's cycling team?
This week's Endurance Mountain Bike National Championships are drawing riders from across the country to experience those trails at Carvin's Cove, Explorer Park, and Elmwood Park. The event continues through Sunday. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
The summer heat returns as we move through the week. Sunny skies today. We're looking for highs in the low 80s in the southwest to around 90 along and east of the Blue Ridge, mid-80s for Danville. Clear this evening, lows in the low to upper 60s. Sunny and hotter Wednesday. Highs in the upper 90s along and east of the Blue Ridge, about 94 for Danville. Upper 80s in the far southwest. Hotter yet Thursday. Highs near 100 for many, including Roanoke, Richmond, and Fredericksburg, around 86 in the Wise area. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.